What's up, everybody? It's Michael Scotto, Hoops Hype's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. I hope you're all doing well. I know it's getting a little chilly out now that we're into the fall, but at least the NBA offseason is about to heat up with the draft right around the corner. So what better time to have our next guest, RJ Hampton, join us on the pod. RJ was one of the top high school recruits in his class before going pro overseas in the NBL. And we talked about his journey playing overseas, going up against LaMelo Ball, returning home to train with Mike Miller and Penny Hardaway, being a projected first-round pick in this year's draft, and much more coming up next. RJ, appreciate you coming on the pod with us here at Hoops Hype. How are you doing with everything going on with COVID in the world right now and with training as you get ready for the NBA draft?
Right. I appreciate you. I appreciate you for having me. Like you said, with COVID, it's been, you know, kind of scary things the last 8-9 months. But, you know, luckily, me and my family, we've been COVID-free, friends, different people around me. So I'm just trying to stay blessed, stay healthy. And as far as really just training, just keeping my mind sharp, it's been a long process. So just trying to keep my body right, my mind sharp, and, you know, get ready for what's ahead.
Well, hopefully that good fortune continues for you and your family. Certainly there's a lot going on in the world. As we look at your arc to get to this NBA draft, the first thing I wanted to ask you about was making that decision for yourself to go overseas instead of playing ball in college. For you personally, obviously that's a major life decision. What went into that decision for you, and what did you think of the decision looking back on it now?
You know, I think the decision for me was the right decision as a basketball player and as a, you know, a business person, you know, who I want to be in, you know, in the future. You know, I definitely feel like the decision I made helped me on and off the court, you know, to be a pro, to be an NBA player, which is my main goal. And, you know, looking back on that decision, you know, I don't regret it one bit. You know, I'm happy with the outcome. I'm happy on how much I learned this past year. So it's just been really good.
When you were making that decision, did you talk with other guys that had gone that road before you, whether it was Brandon Jennings or someone like that, to get some input before making the decision?
Yeah, I mean, I had talked to a couple guys, Manuel Moutier and Terrence Ferguson. Talked to both of them and just, you know, kind of told me how they liked it, how they went about certain things over there. So, you know, got advice from them and feedback from them.
Emmanuel Moutier is a great dude. We had him here in New York when he was in with the Knicks locally. I'm glad to hear that you spoke with those guys. So after now having that experience of playing overseas, how would you describe life for you overseas on a daily basis?
It was a lot different than America, probably from the fact that I didn't have to go to school. So, you know, you wake up, you know, you go to the facility, you know, you're getting treatment, watching film, starting practice. And then you probably get some lunch, come back, get us some shots, and go home and then do the same thing all over again. So, you know, I feel like the biggest thing was just time management. This is the first time, you know, in my life, you know, I didn't have to dedicate 7-8 hours a day to school.
You notice anything different about the game overseas versus here in the States, especially for you coming off the high school and the AAU type level?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I learned over there, what's kind of different about, you know, high school AAU compared to overseas basketball, is just the team ball, the movement of everybody. You know, everybody knows how to make great cuts. Everybody knows, you know, different defensive actions, offensive actions. You know, I think in AAU and high school ball, especially me, I had the ball 99.9% of the time when I played. So going over there and, you know, learning how to play off the ball or play with other great guys, I feel that a lot of players are going to have to learn at some point in their career if they want to be successful.
Another guy who went overseas that's in your draft class, LaMelo Ball, obviously he gets talked about a lot. I was curious for you what it was like when you guys would get to match up and you would get to play against him. What was that like for you, and any thoughts on his game?
Yeah, like you said, I think LaMelo is a great player. Just his, you know, combination of size and, you know, vision is, you know, it's unmatched. You know, when we played over there, I think we won twice the game. We won both the games. So
know, it was definitely good matchups, high intensity. We both competed. He was kind of in a different situation that I was in. So, you know, the outcomes, you know, varied throughout games, but, you know, it was fun competing.
Being that both of you guys were Americans playing overseas, did you guys kind of bond it all over that same shared commonality where, you know, you're both making that transition as young athletes and young men going overseas to a whole different world? Did you guys bond it all over that and become friends at all?
For sure. You know, we were friends before we had even went overseas. So I've known Melvin for about 5 years now, 4 or 5 years. So even when we were over there, you know, we saw each other all the time. We talked pretty much every day, every other day now. So that's been one of my good friends, you know, besides like basketball and, you know, going overseas.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that the two of you were able to grow that friendship, especially heading overseas. And, you know, it's interesting. We saw recently guys like Jonathan Kuminga and other young prospects bypass college and take the G League route instead. Do you think that maybe you and LaMelo and the guys before you that have made that transition and are, you know, positioned to be first round picks in the NBA draft this year further opened up that door for those kind of kids that were weighing the pros and cons of whether to go to college or not for themselves?
I think we did for sure. You know, especially me and LaMelo, you know, me being, you know, the 1-2 rated point guard in my class last year, you know, LaMelo being one of the biggest names in high school basketball history. You know, college kind of, you know, would have liked to have us a lot last year, but, you know, once, you know, guys seeing that, you know, RJ and LaMelo didn't go to college and, you know, are making money and being successful, I think that kind of took, you know, opened some guys' eyes to other options. And the G League was presented to them, and, you know, I think that's a great fit for them, as, you know, as long as they're going in there and working hard.
Certainly a different type of atmosphere, just like you're talking about overseas. The G League for those guys versus the NBA, a lot different. They're going to have a bullseye on their back, in my opinion, just like I think you and LaMelo did when you went overseas, because you're playing against grown men and in a lot of cases, former NBA players. So that dynamic always fascinated me. Well, you know what? That was my interpretation of it, but I might as well ask you, being that obviously you experienced it, RJ, did you feel almost that you had a bit of a bullseye on your back or had more defensive coverages rolled your way? Like, did you feel anything different about that, being that you were a high-profile American young man to go over there and join that league?
I think there was definitely certain times where, you know, certain guys keying on me the whole game, or, you know, some guys might take a little cheap shot, you know, here and there, but, you know, that's what comes with the game. You know, I definitely think that me and LaMelo had the biggest bullseye on our back, you know, in the NBL. And I think, you know, going through that on our first year in the NBL will definitely help us through, you know, our first 2-3 years in the NBA.
How is it for you, even when you met your own teammates, to kind of introduce yourself and get acclimated into the fold there, being the new guy? Did you take a certain approach to that to kind of, you know, endorse yourself to those guys? And obviously, you know, they had been older guys that have been on the team previously overseas.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, just coming in, you know, being a high profile guy, coming in and letting those guys know that I'm here to win. You know, I'm here for business. You know, I want to make the team better at all costs. You know, I want to not bring in an ego. I'm not bringing, you know, anything else but, you know, a winning attitude and, you know, to better the team. So I think once my teammates figured that out about me, everything went, you know, so much smoother.
And since the end of the NBL season, you come back and you have to start getting ready for the draft. It's obviously the most unique draft process that players, agents, executives, even reporters like myself have been a part of. With that in mind, what have you done to prepare for this draft process with your current agent, Dan Frank?
I think the biggest thing for us is just like being mentally prepared, you know, for my rookie season, even, you know, without playing basketball. So, you know, if I have a Zoom call, you know, I'm treating that like a scout. I'm treating that like I'm scouting, you know, a road game or scouting a home game for my team already year, or, you know, if I have, you know, workouts back to back, or if I'm driving down to Memphis, you know, kind of train your mind to think, okay, if I'm going down to Memphis for a week and back home for a week, I just had a 1 week road trip and a 1 week home stretch. So just training your mind at all costs to get ready for whatever battle is going to be thrown at you, you know, your rookie year.
Do you remember any maybe weird or off the ball Zoom interview question that you got that stuck out to you?
I can't remember any like specific, like crazy. Actually, I do. I think it was one that said, if I was a paperclip in a blender, how would I get myself out?
Yeah, if you were a paperclip in a, I'm trying to even think of that for myself. Your answer, I guess, would be as good as mine. Do you remember what you said to that one?
I was like, I said, since I'm a paperclip, I have a wiry frame, I'm going to find some type of nick or hole in the machine and try to, like, wiggle my way out. That was the best answer I could have came up with.
You know what? I always find those are almost like personality, character type of questions. We previously on Hoops Hype, I had polled some GMs and other executives that have done these pre-draft interview process interviews with guys like yourself over the years. And some of the answers that they would tell me from guys are even more fascinating, and especially like the player comparison questions. So I might as well even pose that to you. You being a guard that can play kind of both positions, is there someone that you would maybe compare your game to, or whether it's comparing your game to right now or someone that you're trying to model your game after, looking ahead for the rest of your career?
Right. I think, you know, the person that I watched the most, like watched the most film on probably over the past 2-3 years would be Zach LaVine, just because I feel like we're both 6'5", 6'6", guards that are athletic, that can get downhill, that can create for our teammates. We're fast with speed. So, you know, that's definitely somebody that I kind of try to model my game after now. And then I would say kind of long-term, you know, not, I mean, long-term, but, like, one of my favorite players ever is Derrick Rose. So, I mean, if I could be like him one day, that'd be worth my while.
I'd say if you turn into an MVP one day, then that would be okay.
Yeah.
He's pretty right. Good. But, you know, you've also been working with one of the better shooters in the league, at least in recent memory, and an NBA champion in Mike Miller. You also been working with one of my favorite guys to watch on YouTube, his highlights, Penny Hardaway. For you,
right,
what has that experience been like with both of those guys, and specifically with Mike and with Penny? What parts of your game have you been working on with them and developing?
I think the biggest thing with Mike, kind of speaks for itself, you know, in my opinion, top 20, top 25 shooter of all time to ever play the game of basketball. So the biggest thing I'm working on with him is just trying to be that high 30s, low 40% three-point shooter to go along with, you know, my athleticism and speed and things like that. So, you know, we're in the gym, you know, every other week, thousands of shots, thousands of reps trying to get it down, you know. So when I do come to the NBA, I'm making the impact right away. And then I would say for Penny, the biggest thing that, you know, we work on is IQ. If I'm going to play the lead guard position, you know, I want to be the smart person on the court at all times. So I definitely think that, you know, with his athleticism and, you know, his flair and his razzle-dazzle, he was definitely, you know, one of the smartest people on the court in the league at all times. So, you know, that's the biggest thing we work on is IQ and just feel for the game.
Has Mike Miller given you any pointers on maybe a shooting technique? And with Penny, I always think of him in the pick and roll. Have you guys talked about any of that stuff and ways to improve for your own individual game?
Right, yeah. Me and Penny, that's probably the most thing we work on is pick and roll stuff, pick and roll situations. You know, different reads out of the pick and roll, just, you know, knowing where everybody's at on the pick and roll, and then also going over for the defensive end too, just so I kind of know both sides, you know, down pat. And then, you know, for Mike, we kind of revamped my whole shot. I think it don't even look the same from, you know, 9 months ago. So we kind of redid that whole thing. So he's taught me a bunch of different techniques and, you know, strategies and mindset, you know, games you can play with yourself, you know, be that great shooter.
Now, if I remember correctly, didn't Mike and Penny also try to recruit you when you were coming out of high school? And it's almost kind of ironic that you get to work with them in that vein going into in the draft.
Right, you know, for sure. Yeah, they definitely recruited me out of high school, came down to my high school. I went down for, that was actually my first official visit. So, you know, went down to Memphis, they came to my high school, you know, built a relationship from there first. And then, you know, that's how I got, you know, super connected with them both. And then, you know, we kept in touch after, you know, I went overseas. And once I came back, you know, Penny texted my dad, I texted Mike, and it was kind of, you know, just downhill from there.
Being in Memphis, have you crossed paths at all with Ja Morant and maybe played against him a little bit on some either open runs or just some one-on-one games?
Yeah, I see Ja a lot. I've seen him maybe once or twice since he got back from the bubble. But you know, before the bubble, you know, we were working out strength and conditioning. Just him giving me a lot of feedback in the gym a couple times. You know, no open runs, but just, you know, working. So, you know, I think, you know, that's been a real big help for me. You know, somebody that was just rookie of the year, and I get a chance to spend a lot of time with over the summer to prepare for my rookie year. So that's, you know, another aspect of the game that, you know, a lot of people have, you know, contact with him, you know, immediate contact with him like I did this summer.
You know, you touched on Ja, obviously, as the reigning rookie of the year. He took a different path than you did. He was a lot less heralded of a recruit going to Murray State and then putting that team on his back. And doing some magical stuff, in my opinion, in the NCAA tournament. Did he give you any particular pieces of advice that stuck out to you?
I think the biggest piece of advice he gave me over the summer, he was like, you know, RJ, like, pretty much you're one of the fastest guards I've ever seen, you know, in person. So, you know, take that to your advantage, you know, learn how to play with pace and then use your speed and slow to your advantage. You know, you're so fast. You know, slow down and think the game, and it's going to help you in the long run just because you are so fast.
And, you know, we also touched upon the draft a little earlier about LaMelo, you. I'm going to ask you this. Have you seen at all some people saying that this is maybe a weaker draft class or doesn't have maybe a franchise caliber guy? There, it seems sometimes like this draft doesn't get as much love as maybe other draft classes. Does that impact you at all, and how do you feel about that?
No, I don't think that impacts me at all. I mean, I know the guys in this draft class. You know, I know the guys who I think could be potentially stars, and I know, you know, I feel like our draft class is, you know, one of the most deeper ones that people are going to be surprised with. So, especially me, you know, and myself, you know, I don't worry about what, you know, they're saying on Twitter or on the internet for real. I guess they just have to see. I guess, when is it, December 22nd, maybe?
Yeah, if they start the season by then, but we'll see.
Yeah, if they start the season,
when you're evaluating yourself as a player right now, and obviously you've got a ways to go in your overall development, you're just starting your career, but right now, from your vantage point, what do you think are your strengths and your weaknesses right now?
I think, you know, a lot of my weaknesses just is like, you know, defensive schemes, you know, learning where to be at all times on defense, you know, locking in, you know, full time on the defensive end. I feel like I'm athletic enough to be a great defender. So just locking in on that. I think a weakness was shooting, but, you know, been in the gym for the last 7 months with one of the best shooters of all time. So, you know, getting that down pat. And I think probably my biggest strengths are attacking downhill, making plays for the guys into the basket. I think I'm the most athletic guard in the draft, but I think I'm the fastest person in maybe the NBA when I get there next year. So I think those are my biggest strengths.
For you going into the draft, do you think that being a lead guard or off the ball guard, do you have a preference or have a vision of which role you think you could be more successful in?
I definitely think I could be more successful, you know, on the ball being a lead guard, but you know, honestly, you know, I just got to be put out on the floor, you know, for things to happen. I feel like I run lane good. I feel like I run lane good. I feel like I do things in transition well and, you know, a good off-ball cutter. So, you know, whatever the team really needs, what I'm going to do.
If you're sitting down, whether it's in a Zoom interview or just a phone call or anything like that with an executive for a team, and they say to you, RJ, why should I take you in this draft for my organization? What do you say to them?
I say because I think I'm the most prepared player in this draft. I feel like I'm the most versatile player in this draft. Nobody can really pinpoint, what I do, super great, and nobody can pinpoint what I do super bad. I can guard one through three with my size and athleticism. I can make plays for my teammates, but also, when my shot starts to fall, that just opens it up for, me and everybody else. So I think you get, the best of both worlds with a young guy who's very athletic and who competes at the highest level.
With that in mind, have you kept tabs at all on whether it's mock drafts or your own draft stock at all?
I see different mock drafts. Well, my agent, Dan, him telling me, draft stock. I know they're two way different things. So I think people just have to see on draft night, honestly, if their mock draft kind of lived up to the hype.
When you look at your own career and what you want to achieve, what are the long-term goals that you have for yourself by the time you hang up your sneakers one day down the line?
I think the biggest long-term goal is to win an NBA championship. I think I want to be an NBA All-Star, MVP. I'm sure every single person ever interviewed said this, but just to be a good guy in the locker room, a guy people respect, a guy that people can lean on. Want to be a part of the NBPA. A lot of different things, outside of basketball as well. But the main thing for sure, MVP, All-Star, championship, and Hall of Famer.
Well, being now that you're on the doorstep of the NBA draft, looking at your journey to this point, is there anything that you would change at all if you were given the opportunity?
I don't think I would change nothing. I think, the way I did it was my way. I think, I'm gonna continue to do things in that order, and just, play as hard as I can for whatever team, chooses to draft me on draft night.
And you for yourself, you talked about when you first met your teammates, you talked about, it being about business. I'm coming here to win and be a part of that team. Business-wise, as a young man growing up, what have you learned through this experience for yourself going overseas and being a true professional at that point? You're not an amateur anymore, obviously, once you made that leap.
Right. I think I learned just, my willingness to work. I feel like I learned how competitive I was, how much of a team player I was. I think in high school I definitely was a team player, but I had the responsibility of scoring the ball pretty much every time I touched it. But just to find out different roles that I could be in one day or different situations I might have to play, I feel like I'm the most prepared, for any situation that the NBA throws at me.
What do you have coming up for yourself, whether it's schedule wise, training wise, as you get ready for the draft coming up in a couple of weeks at this point?
Yeah, you're right. A couple of weeks. I mean, just the biggest thing, just stay in the gym, stay focused, keep going over film, and just like you said, 3 weeks away, just waiting to count down the day.
Well, RJ, I certainly wish you the best of luck as you get ready for the draft and you fulfill your lifelong dream. That's always an incredible accomplishment for anyone, no matter what your dream is. So I know it's, you know what, with that in mind, being that it's going to be a virtual draft, are you a little bummed out about that? Maybe not walking across that stage, figure and shaking a commissioner's hand. Have you thought about that at all for yourself? And what that moment will be like whenever you do hear your name called.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bummer. You can't experience, the bright lights and, walking across the stage, like you said, but, just getting to spend time with family, before I'm kind of just shipped off to training camp, pretty fast is, definitely, something I'm looking forward to as well. So, I think I'll kind of be bummed out, but, definitely super duper excited, at the end of things.
Well, like I was starting to say, I certainly wish you the best of luck as you get to realize your dream. Appreciate you hopping on with us here on a
Thank you so
Hoopside
much.
podcast, and stay well.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High podcast with other players, coaches, and media personalities, be sure to like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also keep up with my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.